Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. What a beautiful day it is to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm so happy to see all the smiling faces up nice and early on this Christmas morning. It's a beautiful time to gather together, especially this year after what has been a challenging year. Maybe not so much for us here in Canberra, but in Melbourne, of course, and around Australia, and especially around the world. And today, as I look around and see everyone here, we have to realize how privileged we are. People across Europe and the US, they are all stuck in their homes, outside of their routine, unable to see family and friends. Even those on the northern beaches have been affected as well, and some in Canberra haven't been able to receive their guests. But we are privileged, so let us make the most of this time as we gather here today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We just thank you for your blessings on our lives, oh God. Where would we be if it wasn't for you, Lord God? Lord, I pray that this day, Lord, that we would have a fresh gratitude and thankfulness for all that you are to us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to die for the sins of the world. We stand here today forgiven of our sins because of your sacrifice. Truly, Lord Jesus, when you came, love came. And we thank you for that true agape love that we experience today. Unconditional, sacrificial love, Lord God. Lord, we invite your presence into this place. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. This morning, as is our custom, have a special story for all of the children. So I'm going to invite the children to come down to the front of the church now and to sit, and our musicians and singers can be excused. Thank you very much. It's lovely to see everyone. A special welcome to our guests that are here today, and especially those that are joining us online as well. So children, come down the front. We've got a story to read. Come and sit on the floor. Good to see you all this morning. Have a seat. Well, does anyone remember the story that I read last year? Probably not. I can't remember it either. Something about the three trees and the tree that made the cross. But today I've got a very special story. It took me a long time to find this story because I don't just want to read a story that is about, you know, Santa Claus, because that's nothing to do with Christmas. Don't want to read anything about, you know, all those sort of reindeer and stuff. That's all fun, but it's not about Christmas. Christmas is about, who's it about? About Jesus. And so today, if you could throw the slides up so I can see the story that we're going to read today. The story I'm going to read today is called One Christmas Morning. One Christmas Morning. There's going to be some pictures up there, I think, as well. One Christmas Morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, One Christmas Morning. He woke suddenly and completely. It was 4 o'clock. He was old now, but it was 4 o'clock, and this was the hour at which his father had always called him to get up and help with the milking. You see, even when he was old, he still woke up really early, because when he was young, his father would wake him up at 4 o'clock. It was the hour at which his father had called him to get up and help with the milking. How strange it is that the habits of his youth still clung to him still, 50 years ago. And he's still waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. His father had been passed for 30 years, and yet still he waked at 4 o'clock in the morning every day. However, he had trained himself. He had learned to turn over and go back to sleep. How many people like to turn over and go back to sleep? Yeah, maybe not this morning. But this morning, it was Christmas. And he didn't want to go back to sleep. Why did he feel so awake tonight? He slipped back in time, as he did so easily nowadays. He went right back to the age when he was 15 years old. He was still living on his father's farm. loved his father. He called him daddy. He had not known it until one day, just a few days before Christmas, when he had overheard what his father was saying to his mother. He heard mum and dad talking in the kitchen. Dad said, "Mary, I hate to call in the mornings. I hate it. Because you know, Bobby, he's growing up so fast and he needs his sleep. If you could see, Mary, how Bobby sleeps in the morning when I go to wake him up. You know, Mary, I really wish I could do the milking alone." "Well, you can't, Adam. You can't." His mother's voice was brisk. "And Adam, besides, he's 15 years old. He's not a child anymore. It's time he took his turn." "Yes," his father said slowly. "But I sure do hate to have to wake Bobby up so early in the morning." When he heard these words, something in him spoke. "My dad really loves me. My dad really loves me." You know, Bobby had never thought about that before, how much his daddy loved him. In fact, he often took for granted the love of his dad and the tie of their blood and the fact that they were family. Neither his father or his mother. Back then, parents didn't really talk about how much they loved their children. In fact, they had no time. Life was different back then. There was always so much work to be done on the farm. But now that he knew his father loved him, after hearing his mum and dad talking, there would be no loitering in the mornings and there would be no having to be called over and over again. "Come on, Bobby, time to get up." No. He got up. Even though he was tired, he got up and he stumbled blindly in his sleep and he put his clothes on. Have you ever been sleepy putting your clothes on? Yeah. His eyes are still shut, just opening a little bit because it's too bright. But he got up. And then on the night before Christmas that year, when he was 15, he lay in bed for a few minutes thinking about what Christmas Day would be like. They were poor. They were a poor family. Most of the excitement on Christmas Day was in the turkey that they had prepared themselves and the mince pies that his mother had made. His sisters sewed presents. And his mother and father always bought him something that he needed. Everyone say needed. There's a difference between what you want and what you need. Mum and dad always bought him something that he needed. A warm jacket, maybe something more, a book, or some pencils for school. And he saved some money, and he also bought something for them too. He wished that night that he could go back to the Christmas when he was 15 years old. He wished he would have had a better present for his father. As usual, he had gone to the 10-cent store. He bought a tie. 10 cents. It had seemed nice enough until that night when he was old, he lay there before Christmas and he looked out the attic window and the stars were bright. When he realized how much his dad loved him, he said, "You know, the 10-cent store and a tie, is that all I can do?" He looked out the attic window and the stars were bright. "Dad," he once asked when he was a little boy, "what is a stable?" "Oh, it's just a barn," his father replied. "Like ours, we got a barn. That's what a stable is." Then Bobby replied to his dad. He said, "Well, Dad, then Jesus was born in a barn? Stable? And to the barn, the shepherds came?" As he was thinking about it, the thought struck him in his heart. "Why should I not give my father a special gift too? I'm going to give my dad a special gift out in the barn. I can get up early. I know what I can do. I can get up really early, earlier than 4 o'clock in the morning, and I will creep into the barn and I will get all the milking done for Dad. I will do it all for him. I will do it alone. I will milk all the cows. I will clean up all the mess. When Dad wakes up and he comes to the barn, he'll see that all the milking has been done and he would know who had done it. He would know that I had done it." He laughed to himself. He gazed at the stars out the window for a little bit longer. "That's what I'm going to do. I can't sleep too sound tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to give my dad a beautiful gift. He must have waked about 20 times during the night. Each time he woke up, he would scratch a match, because they didn't have lights then. He'd scratch a match and look at his clock. Midnight, 1:30, 2:00, 2:30, 3:00. Then at 3:00, he got up, so tired. He put on his clothes and he crept downstairs as quietly as he could, careful that the floorboards didn't creak, and he let himself outside. He went to the barn, he went to the stable. The cows looked at him.
Why are you so up so early, Bobby?
Strange. The cows were used to sleeping, but they've been woken up extra early this morning. The cows were also sleepy, but they were very surprised. It was early for them too. You see, Bobby was about to do all the milking, and he had never milked all the cows by himself. But you know, that morning it seemed almost easy. It seemed almost easy. He kept thinking about his father's face and the surprise that he would give his dad. His father would come in and wake up Bobby, and he would say a few things. Come on, Bobby, get dressed. And then Dad would go to the barn and Dad would open the door. And then Dad would go and get 2 big empty milk cans. But you know what? That morning, when Dad goes to the barn, they wouldn't be waiting. They wouldn't be empty. They would all be full of milk. Everything was done. All the cows would be milked. The cans would be full of milk. Oh my goodness, his dad would say. He would hear it from the house. He smiled. He milked steadily. The boy, Bobby, he was so excited. 2 streams of milk rushing into the pail, frothing and scented and fragrant. He could smell the milk. He smiled. It was so easy today because he realized how much his dad loved him. The task went more easily than it had ever gone before. Milking was once, it was hard. But now, because he realized how much dad loved him, it was not a chore. It was easy. It was something else. In fact, it was a gift to his father who loved him. So Bobby finished. The 2 milk cans were full, and he covered the tops of them. He closed the milking house door, the barn, making sure of the latch, and he crept back to the house. Back in his room, he had only a minute to quickly pull all his clothes off, and in the darkness, he jumped into bed. He heard his father get up. He pulled the covers over the head because he was breathing from running up from the barn. He pulled the covers over his head to silence his quick breathing. The door opened. Bobby! We got to get up, son. Time to milk the cows. Even though it's Christmas. Bobby stirred. He said, oh, all right, Dad. Sleepily. The door closed and he lay there still, laughing to himself. Dad is going to get a big surprise. In just a few minutes, his father would know. His dancing heart was ready to jump from his body. The minutes were endless. 10, 15. How long was it going to take Dad to come back? And then he heard his father's footsteps again. The door opened. Bobby laid still under the covers. Bobby? Yes, Dad. His father was laughing. An amazing, sobbing sort of laugh. Bobby, you thought you'd fool me, didn't you? His father was standing by the bed, feeling for him in the dark. He pulled away the cover. It's for Christmas, Dad. It's for Christmas. He found his father and they hugged. They clutched each other in a great big hug. He felt his father's arms go around him. It was dark. They couldn't even see each other's faces. But they hugged there in the dark. Son, I thank you. Nobody has ever done a nicer thing. Oh, Dad. I want you to know, I know I'm naughty sometimes, but I do want to be good. And the words broke from him of their own will. He started to talk. He didn't know what to say, but the son's heart was just bursting with love. son, no one's done a nicer thing for me. So he got up and he pulled his clothes on again, and they went down to the family room that had been decorated so nicely for Christmas. Oh, what a Christmas. And how his heart nearly burst with pride as his dad sat in the chair in the lounge room telling his mum, telling the younger children, listen to what Bobby did for me. Listen to the act of love that Bobby did for me. Bobby got up all by himself. The best Christmas gift I've ever had, Dad said. And I'll remember it, son. Every year on Christmas morning, I'll remember the gift that you gave me as long as I live. They had both remembered it. Now, his father had passed away. That night he lay in bed alone, remembering the time he gave his dad the beautiful gift. That blessed Christmas morning, alone with the cows in the barn, Bobby had made his first gift of true love. And love is the greatest gift you can give somebody. This Christmas, he wanted to write a card to his wife who was still sleeping beside him. He said, I just want to tell my wife how much I love her. It's really been a long time since I've really told her how much I love her. You know what? He was thinking to himself, I love my wife even more than when we were young. I've been so fortunate that she loved me. And she was the true joy of my life. And that was the true joy that I had. The ability to love. Dad laid there in bed. Love was still alive in him. It still was. And it occurred to Dad as he laid in bed. It occurred to him suddenly that it was alive in him. That love was alive in him. Because it had been born in him when he knew how much his father loved him. Bobby learned how to love. He wanted to love. He wanted to do something when he realized how much his father loved him. And you know what? Love is the gift that you can give again and again and again and again. And so this blessed Christmas morning, Dad got up. He would give to his wife a beloved gift. He sat down at the table and he wrote a letter for her to read and to keep forever. He went to his desk. He pulled out a pen, pulled out some paper. He pulled out an envelope and he began to write a love letter to his wife. My dearest love, on this Christmas morn. Isn't that a great story? You see, Bobby heard his mum and dad talking about He heard his dad talking about how much he loved him. And when Bobby realized how much Dad loved him, Bobby wanted to do something. And that's the same with our Father. Our God loves us so much. And you know, we should be like Bobby. When we realize how much God loves us, we should be willing to love him back. And how do we love? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How can we love God without loving others? Christmas is about love. In fact, the incarnation is when God became flesh. The incarnation is when love came down. And so December can be such a crazy time. But in the midst of all the busyness, the message of Christmas brings us back to the first principles. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it shows us, Christmas shows us what love is. And the first principle is this, that Jesus gave everything because he loved us. And David said this, listen to David in Psalm 116 verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? When I think about how much God loves me, when I think about his love and all that he's done and all of his blessings, what shall I do for the Lord? You know, children, Jesus loves you so much. And maybe you never totally understood that. You know, Bobby never totally understood how much his dad loved him until he overheard mum and dad talking. But Jesus loves you so much. we are gathered here today because we realize how much He loves us and we want to love Him back in our worship. The greatest thing, children, that you can do for your family, and maybe you don't have any money, so you haven't bought any gifts for mum and dad, but the greatest thing you can do for your family and friends is to show them love as well. The great thing you can do for mum and dad is to love them. And when I read my son this story, Lachlan, I don't want to embarrass him, he said, "Dad, did you write that about me?" No. It is hard to wake them in the morning. But I hope they know that I love them. But more important, I hope that all you children here today know that Jesus loves you. And He died on the cross for you. He didn't just say, "I love you." He showed His love to us. Even when our backs were turned, even when we didn't love Him, He loved us. It's easy to love someone who loves you. But Jesus loved us before we even knew Him. And the greatest gift you can give is love. So remember this story about Bobby. And maybe over the school holidays, you can get up early without mum and dad waking you up. Maybe you can do something for them and give them, like Bobby gave to his dad, the greatest and most memorable Christmas gift ever. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for our mums and dads who bring us to church and who example their love for you to us. We thank you for our parents. Thank you for our grandparents, our brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't just say you loved us, but you showed us your love. And so today, Lord Jesus, we make a commitment, Lord, that we will live a life of love towards you. That we won't just sing about how much we love you, that we won't just say that we love you, but we would show you that we love you through our actions and through our lifestyle. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may go and find your seats again. Thank you, children. Put your hands together for the children this morning. At the end of the service, we're going to take up our Christmas for Christ offering. Every year, we take up an offering to go to planting churches throughout Australia. So at the conclusion of the service, we will sing and we will take up an offering. But before we do that, I have a special message for us today. Let's turn in our Bibles to where we started in John 3:16. And I promise to not keep you long. If you listen fast, I'll preach fast. Okay? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." Everyone say sinners. He came to save sinners. And you know what Paul says? "Of whom I am chief." Paul said, "Jesus came to save sinners. Of who am I? I'm the chief. I'm a bad guy. I was a bad guy. But Jesus came to save me." I want to minister on this thought today. For those joining us in person here, and it's lovely to see everyone and extended family today, and everyone joining us online, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. Can we say that together? Jesus is all you need. As humans, we have this unique ability. It's frustrating, funny, but we have an ability to take something very simple and to make it very complex. Correct? If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. There's been times when I've been solving a problem, building something or making something, and man, I'm scratching my head, and my wife walks in with really no experience in building, and she says, "Why don't you just do it like that?" I'm like, "I've been doing this for 2 hours," and she just comes in and gives the most simple solution. See, the reality is that we have an ability to take something simple and just make it complex. And we've done that with Christmas, haven't we? Christmas is pretty simple. It's about the birth of Jesus and love coming down and Jesus coming to die for our sins. But we make it so complex. In fact, I was so intrigued by this reality that we make simple things complex that I thought I would Google it. I just typed, "Why do humans make simple things complex?" And it came up with this word called complexity bias. We have a bias to make things complex. And it was so interesting to read. The article was called Why We Prefer Complicated to Simple. And it went on to explain all of the reasons why we give credence to complex things and we just forget simple things. And as humans, when we are faced with two competing hypotheses, we are likely to choose the more complex one because we ignore the simple things. That answer is too simple. That solution is too simple. It has to be harder than this. That will never work. And so we always fall in favor of the complex things. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
And so I was thinking what Christmas has become. Something so simple. But now we've turned it into 3 months of shopping. We've turned it into a stressful time. We've turned it from families getting together to an occasion almost completely focused on food. Now mum, poor mum, normally grandma actually, now mum collapses after a whole day of cooking food. Now the children are charged with sugar, driving everyone crazy. I know that's what my house will be like today. Christmas has become stressful. In fact, we even need a holiday to recover from the holiday. And then you've got the 12 days of Christmas. If you didn't think people had made Christmas complex, you got the 12 days of Christmas. And so the 12 days of Christmas is a guy who made Christmas so complicated, buying presents for his true love. I'm glad my wife doesn't want complex things like this. But this man, he had to buy some presents, the craziest things, complex things for his true love. And I was reading through it. Not just a partridge, but it had to be in a pear tree. You see, we have an ability to make everything so complex. Not just three hens, but they had to be French hens. Where do you find French hens? Not just six geese, but six geese are laying, you know. You give it to your wife, six geese, and she goes, I love the geese, and boop, pops out an egg. See, not just geese, six geese are laying. Eight maids are milking. I got no idea where you're going to find 10 lords leaping. But we have an ability to make Christmas so complex. We take something so simple and we make it complex. And in fact, you can look up this. There's a group in the US called the PNC Financial Group. And every year, they put a market price on what it would cost to get all 12 days of Christmas. I looked it up. For 2019, to be able to buy your true love, the 12 days of Christmas was about 50,000 Australian dollars. We've made it very complicated, haven't we? Christmas has become jumbled. In fact, when you go through the shops, you see nativity scenes. I was walking through the shop the other day, I saw a nativity scene, and all the Star Wars characters were there. I just want to remind everyone that the Star Wars characters weren't at the birth of Jesus. In fact, the wise men weren't even there. They started their journey. They got there a little bit later. Reindeer weren't there. There was no snow. No jingle bells. And here's the kicker, kids. The gifts were for Jesus only. One man said, life is really simple, but we insist on making it complicated. The message of Christmas is so simple, yet it speaks to the deepest needs of our heart. Let's keep it simple. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's keep it simple. It's all about Jesus. It is about love coming down. It's about God's love for mankind. It's that God loved us so much that he didn't leave us in sin. He loved us so much that he didn't leave us without hope. He put on flesh and he came to die for us. And we live in a world that is in a constant quest to find fulfillment. However, everything we need today, everything that we need to find fulfillment in our life laid in that manger, was born in the manger in a stable. Everything you need to find fulfillment in life, church, and I've seen it. I've gone to the poorest parts of the world where people have nothing, but they have joy because they have Jesus. And I've come to remind somebody today, the title of this message is, Jesus is all you need. Somebody say all. In fact, everybody say all. Jesus is all you need. Everything we need is in Jesus. So I want to talk about three things that we need. The first thing, and it's a human need, whether you're Christian or not, everybody needs love. Everyone say love. Not just any kind of love. Not a worldly kind of love. Everybody needs an unconditional love. You see, what the world has done with love is based on who we are and what we own and what we do. But we need a love that defines our worth apart from what we do. Why should love be linked to what we do and what we own and how we look and all these things? We need a love that defines our worth apart from what we do and what we accomplish and what we look like and what we own. We need an unconditional love. And in this world, we feel good about ourselves based on what we have and what we've done. And in the world we live in, there's this constant desire to upgrade and get more, and there's so much pressure. But Jesus loved us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Unconditional love. John 15:13 says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Acts 1:3, you might not hear this scripture on Christmas Day very often. It says this, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion." The passion, everyone say passion. What is this referring to? Jesus showed himself alive after he died on the cross. So you're telling me, Pastor, that the cross of Christ was his passion? Yes. So you say, well, I don't understand that. What is it about the cross that we can be passionate about? What is it about death and love and pain and love? You see, when we see the cross, we see pain. But when Jesus saw it, he saw his love. He saw passion. You see, the only people that can really understand passion and the link between pain and passion are people that love each other. Because if you truly love someone, if you've loved enough, you know that passion can be painful, that love can hurt, that loving another person, a child or a spouse, it can hurt. It's a passion, but it can be painful. And so Jesus died on the cross because he was passionately in love with us. And so don't let anyone tell you that true love doesn't hurt. Love is sacrificial. It hurts to give your all and get nothing back. It hurts to invest in people that don't love you back, but that is love. It hurts to be so giving and to receive nothing in return. Jesus knows what that's like. And if you truly love, that's what it's like. And the greatest need we have lay in that manger. Love came down. Jesus brought sacrificial and unconditional love to this world. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is a word for somebody right now. God's capacity to love you is so much bigger than your capacity to hurt him. God's capacity to love you is so much bigger than your capacity to hurt him. Let me tell you, I hear so many reasons why people can't live for God. You know, you don't know what I've been involved in, Pastor. I can't do this. God won't love me. I want to tell you, you say, you don't know what I've been involved in. I tell you, well, you just don't know how forgiving my God is. God will forgive you. You don't know what I've done to my family, Pastor. Well, obviously you don't understand what Jesus did at Calvary. All you need is Jesus. The first thing was love. The second thing we need is grace. Everyone say grace. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We make Christmas a very beautiful thing, and it is. We decorate, we make everything beautiful. But this scripture that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This shows us the flip side. It shows us the ugliness of Christmas. Because if there wasn't an ugliness, Jesus would never have to come. Most of the time we just talk about the beauty of Christmas, and Christmas is cheery and bright and all those things. But to have a proper understanding of the beauty of Christmas, you've got to have an understanding of the ugliness of Christmas. Because lurking behind every nativity scene, as it were, is a very vile and a very ugly thing. The most hideous, heinous reality of the universe, and that is sin. Jesus came to save sinners, and Paul said, I'm the chief of them. And in that manger was everything we needed, love and grace. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Verse 16 says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. We were sinners, but God showed us grace. A man named Ezekiel Hopkins wrote this quote, it is not man's cannots, but his will nots that will destroy him. It's not man's cannots, it's man's will nots. Jesus is the cure. Jesus brought the cure for our sin. He came to die for our sins. And it's not that you cannot. The reality is a lot of people just will not come to Jesus. Jesus came to save me. Are you thankful for that today? Are you thankful for his grace? Grace is the greatest need of every human being. And I found out very early in life that the Christmas carol and this Christmas story that, you know, I used to think about that, only good children get gifts for Christmas. Is that the way the story goes? Well, if that was true, then all the shops would be out of business, correct? Our bank accounts would be a lot fuller if only good kids got Christmas. And so the songwriter wrote, only good kids get Christmas, presents at Christmas, so you better be good for goodness sake. But I found out very early, Dad, that that song was wrong. Because even when I wasn't good, I still got some great toys. Why? Because my parents loved me with an unconditional love. Maybe you're sitting here today and your kids have already been playing up today. And you know, they're going to go home and get some gifts. If children got coal, the story says, if they're naughty, they don't get presents, they get coal. Anyone ever heard that story? They get coal, a bag of coal. So I was thinking as a child, I was pretty naughty, Dad. And if that was true, that bad kids got coal, then I could have probably started a fuel station or something like that, you know? Could have provided electricity for Canberra. But you know what? Our parents do, kids. Even though you're naughty, they give you a gift. And in a small way, they're showing what Jesus did in a grand way. He showed grace. Love came down. The last one is peace. The world is looking for peace. Wars all over the world, and the world is looking for peace. And it's ironic that even the very birthplace of the Prince of Peace, Jesus is peace. Peace is not a thing, it's a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's ironic that even the birthplace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has almost always been known for conflict and war. When the TV cameras today take you to Bethlehem, when there's a Christmas ceremony, once again at Bethlehem, there'll be soldiers everywhere, armed soldiers watching over the crowds, gathering at the place where the Prince of Peace was born. The Arabs will greet each other with salam, and the Jews will greet each other with shalom. Peace, peace. When it's all said and done, they'll go on warring with each other. Politics is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Because when love came down, when Jesus was born, peace came. And our greatest needs in life are love, grace, and peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, let's say it together, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've come to remind somebody today that Jesus is all you need. Because in Jesus there is love, unconditional love, sacrificial love. In Jesus there is grace, and in Jesus there is peace. With God in your life, you can have peace because you have peace with Him. As I finish, Ephesians 2 verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Everyone say, He's our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus came, a sinless man, giving His life for us so that we could have a relationship with Him. And so Christmas, as complex as we've made it, it really is quite simple. Today, Christmas Day, is all about the love of Jesus. We make it complicated. We've got nativity scenes, all these things around the cradle and sheep and mice and spider webs. But you know, all that's just periphery. What lay in the manger was Christ the Lord, full of love, full of grace, and the Prince of Peace. And today the nativity scene has become so congested. I wish I could have got a nativity scene and just moved everything out, all the periphery, moved the stable, moved the cows and the sheep and all the Star Wars characters and the wise men, just move it all away. Because you know why? The answer lay in the cradle. Jesus is all you need. Let's stand in this place today. I want to remind you today, if you could play that track we played earlier on. I want to remind you today that Jesus came to a stable, a place where animals lived. Smelly. There would have been animal feces there. The cradle would have been nicely prepared. It probably would have been splinters. There was hay, dirt. That's the place that Jesus made His entry. One of the saddest things as a pastor is for somebody to say, I can't be a Christian because my life is too messy. Jesus settled that from day one. He came to a messy place. And as messy as your life is, I want to tell you, your life isn't too messy for the Savior. It's not too messy for Jesus. And I want to tell you, just like Bobby, as he eavesdropped on a conversation between mum and dad, I pray that you've been able to eavesdrop today in this message and just hear how much Jesus loves you. And that you, like Bobby, would leave this place knowing the love of Jesus and knowing that His love places on you an obligation to love Him back. Not just with your words, but with your lifestyle, your actions, your giving. He gave, we gave. I pray somebody can come to the realization, really, that Jesus is all we need. You two wrote the song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But if I was to go around this room, there are people that have been on the same quest, searching. They tried money, tried relationships, tried careers. But this place is full of people that would stand up and say, I found what I was looking for when I found Jesus. I was at somebody's house this week, and I didn't even talk to them about this. We haven't had time to talk about this. One of the brothers in our church is here today. And an old workmate came to his house just to drop in and say Merry Christmas. The brother from our church has changed a lot since he came to Jesus. He was being very quiet and gentle with the kids. And his colleague replied, he said, what happened to the old? And used his name. You've changed. Let me tell you, when you get Jesus, He'll change your life. And his colleagues saw in him, he said, you know what? You've changed. What happened to the old? I'm not going to mention their name. But when Jesus comes in, your life completely changes. That's our testimony, amen. If Jesus has touched your life, everything you need is in that cradle. Jesus is all you need. Love, grace, peace. It's everything you need, church. It's all in Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and put one basket at the front here. And the other one, they can stand at the door as well. Someone can stand at the door. Everything today that's not designated for something else goes to Christmas for Christ. That goes to taking this gospel, this message, to every community as far as we can reach, especially in the Northern Territory. We spend a lot of money reaching the Indigenous communities there, taking the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But everything that's not in an envelope for another purpose today will go to Christmas for Christ. I just want to say thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. I want to pray that you have a great day today. I pray that as you sit down to eat your meal, that you will say grace and pray and thank the Lord, not just for the food, but for His love and for the hope that you have. And it would be a great idea if maybe, if you're up to it, somebody around the table could tell their testimony for the kids. For if you got young kids at the table, maybe you need to censor that testimony a little bit. But just tell your kids, this is what Jesus did for me. That's why today's so special. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that we can feel in this place. Lord, for truly you are here. You've spoken to us. Lord, you've used this old preacher, oh God, to preach a message of hope. And Lord God, I just pray that we would receive it into our hearts. And Lord God, I pray that out of today, Lord God, lives would be changed. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, we realize how privileged we are to even have something to give today. And Lord, as we receive, oh God, as we are blessed, Lord, we are mindful that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. And so, Lord, as this money goes into planting churches and hiring halls for churches and funding cars and things to get out to the Indigenous communities, Lord, and rallies and church services in the Aboriginal communities and in Nullumbi and Nirrumbi and Euston in Western New South Wales and the Sunraysia area, Swan Hill and Tullibuck, all those places, oh God, we thank you, Lord, that we've been able to reach out there. Lord, as we continue to reach, oh God, we pray, Lord, that you would take these offerings today and use them, multiply them for the furtherance of your kingdom, that this world can truly know that Jesus is all they need. We love you, Jesus.